This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen, amen. And I appreciate y'all coming on this holiday weekend. It is good to serve the Lord and to worship Him and to praise His name on a day of weekend of rest as we celebrate this last weekend of summer and look forward to the fall coming. Jeremiah chapter 33. Last weekend I had the pleasure of celebrating my grandfather's 100th birthday in Russellville, Arkansas, while at the same time that Saturday you were celebrating the life of Mark Caldwell and the wonderful service that he has for his family and church. And now he's just rejoicing and just dancing in the streets in front of his Savior and Master. A wonderful weekend. My grandpa, you know, he has always been a man of prayer and grew up in church, serving churches. Him and my grandma used to do revivals. He would lead the singing. And my grandma would play the piano. She could play like Susie did, the piano, just incredibly. While my dad, he was drug along with them to church, always checking out the new girls. But they always had a great time serving God, and he's always been a man of prayer. Matter of fact, this weekend he told me, he said, "Eric, I just want you to remember that every night before I lay my head down to bed, I pray for you. Pray for you as a pastor." And I thought, that's pretty neat. One that he remembers that I'm a pastor. And one that he remembers to pray for me. You know, 100 years old, you know, your hard drive's not as up to date as it used to be. And so that's fantastic that he remembers that. He still is in his right mind. But, you know, thinking about my grandfather and Mark, two men of great prayer and faith. And many times in the Bible, God promises to answer our prayers. And one of the shortest examples of that is in our passage this morning that we're prepared to read. But as I look back and think, Mark was praying to live on this earth. My grandpa's praying to take him home. It's just like, it seems opposite because all of his friends are gone and have passed on to glory. And he doesn't have very many people here. And he's just praying, God, take me home. But he's still here. But, well, Mark, you know, he's celebrating life here and wants to stay here, but God chose to bring him home. That's kind of odd. But God always answers prayers. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it reads, "Call to me, and I might answer you." No, wait a minute. That's the wrong translation. It says, "Call to me, and I what? Will answer you." Amen. You might want to circle that in your Bible, the word will, because it's not might. It's not maybe. It's not if I'm in a good mood. It's not if I'm having a good hair day or something. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you." And that's a promise from God because God answers every single prayer. Now, He may not answer it the way you and I like it every time, but it's an answer. No is an answer. Wait is an answer. Even grow up is an answer. In a little while is an answer. In my time is an answer, but God never leaves a prayer unanswered. On September 27th, 1991, as was his custom, Gerald Sitzer, a professor of religion and philosophy at Wentworth College, he prayed. And he prayed asking God to protect and to bless his family. But afterwards, something went terribly wrong. Because late that afternoon, returning from a family outing, a drunk driver lost control of his car and smashed into the Sitzer's minivan. And Sitzer's wife Linda, his daughter Diana Jane, and his mother, who was visiting them for the weekend, they were all killed in a collision from that drunk driver. And Sitzer wrote, he said, "To this day, I have been unable to answer or to understand what made that day different. I mean, what prevented my prayers from getting through to God? Did I commit the unpardonable sin, maybe, and I wasn't aware of it? Did I fail to say the right words in the right order? Or did God suddenly turn against me? Why?" He said, "I've asked myself 1,000 times, why did my prayer go unanswered?" He still can't explain it. But he said he concludes in his article that he wrote on unanswered prayer with these words. He says, "Jesus charges us with a view of life from a redemptive perspective. There is more to life than just meets the eye when God is involved, because it says He works things out for the good. When we view unanswered prayer from the perspective of our immediate experience that we're having and just our limited vision. But he concludes with stating, he says, but God is doing something that only faith can grasp it. And he says, wait for it and pray for it. Every prayer is answered, but not every prayer does God say yes to. And there are many, many reasons for that. There's a lot of examples in the Bible where God says no to great men and women of faith. Prayers that were prayed by Abraham, God said no. Prayers that were prayed by Moses, and God said no. Prayers that were prayed by Daniel, God said no. Prayers from Job, prayers from Jonah, God says no. Elijah prayed to God even, and God said no. Even Peter and Paul prayed to God, and God said no. Jesus, yes, Jesus, even God's own Son, there were prayers that were, quote, unanswered, meaning that they weren't answered the way that Jesus asked for them to be. Even God's own Son, God said no. Now that can be very confusing. In the light of the prayers that we pray as our church here, of prayer of faith, that we pray for many people. So I want to speak to you today about a greater purpose. Why God says no. Because we're going to have many no's from God in our lifetime. And a lot of times it can be very confusing on why that happens in our life, especially when we're dedicated and committed to Him. Because if God is truly a loving God, and if God has the power to control everything, then why is my request denied? Good question. And it can be very confusing and frustrating on why do some people get miracles while others don't? Why do we pray for some people and those people get well and then some of them die? I prayed for a lot of people who have recovered from their sickness. And I prayed for others that did not. And they have died. That's downright frustrating. Why do some people get relief from their pain and others don't? Why do some couples pray for a child and they get a child while others who are just as sincere and claiming the promises of God and they don't get a child? And their hearts are just broken by that. In other words, why does God sometimes say yes and why does God sometimes say no? And when you think about it, there are some mysteries about why that happens. But there's also some obvious things. For example, one thing that's obvious is this, is when two people are praying for the opposite thing, obviously God can't answer both. For example, if a child's praying for it to snow so they don't have to go to school, while the parent is praying for clear weather so that they can go to work and won't end up sliding all over the road like you and I have in the past when those storms hit, God's obviously going to say no to one of them. This week, all over America, at those glorious football games, people are praying for the opposing team. Half of them are going to be disappointed. I don't really think God cares who's going to win the Super Bowl or the college playoffs. I know that Alabama and a lot of teams like that yesterday are happy because they won their game. But I'm not sure if God answers a prayer for a team. He may, but I'm not for sure. But even if He did, only 50% would get their prayers answered. Just like I might be praying for my candidate to win in the election, you may be praying for your candidate to win also. So obviously people are praying for opposite things, and that's not going to work. And there's some prayers that sometimes we pray to where if God were to answer them, He'd have to take away your free will or the free will or the free choice of other people in order for that to be accomplished. What if somebody came up to you and said, I'm praying to you that God forces you to marry me? That's not going to happen. Because God's not going to take our way our free will that we have. I mean, that person can pray all that they want till they turn blue in the face. God's going to say no. Because God's not in the business of taking away our free will. He's not in the business of taking away our free choice. Because God made you and He made me in His image. And He's not going to overrule the choice that He gave it to us. God's not going to force you to marry anybody. God's not going to force you to fall in love with someone. And by the way, God can't force someone else to stay in love with you. And many may have prayed that prayer. God, make my spouse not leave. But they left. Why? Because God does not force anybody to do the right thing. He doesn't force you. He doesn't force me to do the right thing. I mean, we all have made bad choices in our life. And He doesn't force us to do the right thing. Or else that would make us puppets. And so He doesn't force anyone else to do that either. So if you're praying, God, I want you to change this person's mind. I want you to wake them up. I want you to give them just some type of sign and make them do this. Just remember, God says, I don't do that with you. Why would I do that with anybody else? So that's a logical reason why we pray for things sometimes that don't happen. But then there's another reason, and that's when we pray for sick people. And if everybody that we prayed for never died, then everybody with great faith would never die. And we aren't meant to live on this planet forever. We're meant to live forever. I just don't want to live on this planet forever because on this planet, there's sorrow, there's suffering, there's sickness, there's sadness, there's racism, there's injustice, there's sexual abuse. You just watch the news at night and you'll see there's harassment, there's war, and there's all other kinds of things like that. And I'm glad I don't have to live on this planet forever. I want to live forever, but I just don't want to live here. I want to live in a place where there's no sorrow and there's no sadness and there's no sickness, no tears, no suffering. And so everybody that you pray for when they're sick, most of the time they may get well. But there's going to be a point, at some point, where that prayer is not answered. Because God has never meant for you or for me to live forever here on this earth. So everybody dies at one point. And we shouldn't be shocked by that because the fact is that we're all terminal. We all have a terminal illness, being a human being, and that means we're going to die at some point. But there are some times that God says no when we earnestly pray with faith, hard, that it's just unexplainable. And there are times when you and I have a legitimate request and you don't see anything wrong with it, but it just doesn't happen. And it makes no sense. And it becomes unbearable at times. And that's when it becomes heartbreaking to us. And that's when you and I don't get it. And that's when that happens, when God says no, then that becomes the greatest test of faith in your life. Prayers that aren't answered the way that you want will absolutely be the single greatest test of faith in your life. And God says, are you going to trust me? Or are you not going to trust me? And so what do? When God says no, particularly in times when maybe a tragic accident happens or maybe an unexplained death or a dashed dream or this unfulfilled longing that you prayed for and you've longed and longed and longed for it so long and the request is denied, and that's when it becomes unbearable. Well, this morning, I'd like to share with you just a few possible reasons of why God says no in our life. I mean, just two or three. I mean, there could be thousands of them. I don't know. I'm sure that there are hundreds or more. Legitimate reasons why God would say no to particular requests that we can't see in our lives. And then I kind of like to share with you what to do when God says no in your life. Because we're going to get a lot of no's in our life, if you haven't experienced that already. We're going to get a lot of yeses too, but there's also a lot of no's as well. But these reasons that I give you to comfort yourself, never, never use them with someone in pain. Because you don't know why God said no to them. Because it's very presumptuous for us to assume that we don't know, or that we know why, and explanations never comfort. Explanations never comfort, and so we don't know why. If Kisha were to drop dead tomorrow night, God forbid, and I knew the reason, it wouldn't make it any less painful. If I knew the reason why she did that. We often think if we understand why something happens, that'll make it easier. And it does not. When someone dies or a tragedy that happens, our first question that we always have is why? 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 And it's okay to ask why. Even Jesus asked why on the cross when he shouted, my God, why? But he didn't get an answer. And what are you going to do when you don't get an answer? Sometimes we don't understand those things until we get into heaven. So never presume to know why God does something. Unless he tells you directly. Clear example of this in the Bible is Job. Job was the wealthiest man in the world. He was the Bill Gates. He was the Warren Buffett of his day. And on a single day, he went from hero to zero. He lost everything. All of his children were killed by marauding terrorists. And he had a big family. And they were all killed in one day. And all of his crops were burned down. And his cattle and his sheep and his goats died. And he lost all of his wealth in one day. And to top that off, he gets this terrible, incurable, painful disease all in one day. And you know, you and I think we've had bad days. This guy had a bad day. And what's Job do? He goes out and sits on an ash heap. I've never done that before, but I can imagine it would be quite painful. But he does that. He just does that to mourn. And he does that to grieve in his despair. But Job had three friends, and those three friends come. And at first, when they come, they do the right things. Three friends come, and they sit down with Job, and they sit there in silence with him. For the first 7 days. That's what a friend does. When somebody's in grief, you show up and you shut up. And the deeper the pain is in someone's life is, the fewer words that you use. Now, if someone's having a bad hair day, you can talk to them 30 minutes or more about it. But if someone has just had a loved one die, you need to show up and shut up. People always say, I don't know what to say when this person has a tragedy. I don't know what to say to them. Don't say anything. You just need to be a presence in their life. I've told many of you this before, Wednesday nights and other times, but there was a time when in the hospital, I work at OU Medical Center, and there was a time at a hospital when an acquaintance of mine through my girls' basketball team, his son was involved in a tragedy accident during lunchtime at the high school, and he was at our emergency room, and I've heard about it, found out about it, and then I said, I need to go down there, but I don't know this guy well enough to what to say to him. And there was a nurse working with me in my office, and I'll never forget that. She said, Eric, you need to go down there. I said, I don't want to go down there. I don't know what to say to him. She said, it doesn't matter. You need to go. And she almost literally drugged me down there to the emergency room. I'm hesitant all the way, and I come up to him, and he's sitting there. And I sat down next to him, and he looks at me and said, Eric, it's bad. And I just look over at him. I said, I don't even know what to say to you. And I just sat there crying with him. And that's all it was, just crying. I don't even know how long it was. But after a few moments, I got up and I said, I'm praying for you, brother. If you need anything, let me know. And left. And the ministry of presence in someone's life may be all that they need. For 7 days, Job's friends sat there, and they were the best friends that they could possibly be. Just sitting there in his presence, carrying his pain with him. And they didn't get into trouble until they opened their mouths. And you and I won't either when we open our mouth. If we could just keep it shut most of the time, and if God tells us something, we'll do it. But for the rest of the book of Job, they start trying to explain the unexplainable. Job, you're suffering because of this, or maybe it was because of that. And they're offering all of these different kinds of reasons about Job. And they think that they're helping Job by offering explanations. Have you ever had someone trying to help you when you didn't want their help? I'm just trying to help you. Job's friends aren't helping him. In fact, they're making it worse. And the point is they got it all wrong. And they don't know why this is happening to Job. And at the end of the book of Job, God comes before and he restores Job's health and he restores Job's everything that he has, twice as much as Job had before. And God speaks to Job and he speaks to Job's friends and he reprimands Job's friends. Why? For them trying to explain the unexplainable. Instead of just leaving it as a mystery, he says to Job's three friends in Job chapter 42, verses 7 and 8, he says, I'm angry with you, for you have not been right for what you said about me. My servant Job is the only one that spoke the truth, and he got it right. Now, throughout the book of Job, through a lot of the chapters of Job, Job's outright complaining to God. God, this is terrible. What's going on? I don't understand. What have I done? I've done no wrong in your sight. And God responds to Job by saying, you're exactly right. Listen, it's okay to complain when you're in pain. God says that's okay. What's not okay is trying to give an explanation that isn't true. Because we're always on thin ice when we try to explain something that God didn't explain to us directly. And many well-meaning believers try to do this. I know, because I've tried to do this. With stuff even that happens in our world, we've seen hurricanes, we've seen earthquakes, we've seen mass school shootings, of things of all different kinds of weirdness in our world. And sometimes what you'll do is you'll hear well-meaning people stand up and say, this particular event happened because of the judgment of God. Back when Hurricane Katrina hit and hit New Orleans, a lot of people said that that was the judgment of God that hit that sin city. Well, evidently God was off a bit because he missed the most sinful part of that city. Bourbon Street, the red light district where prostitutes hang out, the drug zone where drugs are just freely distributed. And matter of fact, that part of the city is the highest part of that city. So you would think that that would be the first thing to get hit. But it was untouched. So God must have missed that part. I mean, everybody else was hit except the worst part of New Orleans. It was untouched. And you can look it up and see. Because if God judges America as he has every right to, but he hasn't. But if he does, he's not going to start with hurting unbelievers. He's going to start with the church. How do I know that? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 reads, the time of judgment will begin with the household of God, the family of God. If God judges America, decides to judge America or any other nation, for that matter, he's going to start with us. He's going to start with his very own family. Because God disciplines his family, not the neighbor kids. So many times what you see, isn't the judgment of God, because the Bible says that if it were, it would start with us. With what we are not doing right as His very own children. Now, with all that background with prayer and then cautions about prayer, I'd like to share some reasons with you, just a few out of many, maybe, why God says no. First reason maybe God says no sometimes is that He has a bigger perspective. Things that we can't see, because He can see what you and I can't see. God has a bigger perspective. God can see the whole picture while we just have a limited version, almost a snapshot type of view, because God sees the wider view of things while we don't. God sees the future while we don't see things in the future. God always sees things that we can't see because God can see around that curve that we can't. God can even see 10 years or more into the future. He can see the results of every decision that we make. Nothing is uncovered with God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, "And there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." So God sees all of it. And sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer we want Him to because He sees things that you and I don't see. You see, our problem is that we have this limited perspective and we don't see the unintended consequences of when we ask for something before God, a legitimate request. We don't see what happens because God can see how those dominoes fall over. God can see every prayer that is answered, and if He answers yes to this prayer, it's going to begin a chain reaction. And you and I don't see that, but He does. He knows how that decision that you just asked for is going to affect your grandchildren, how it's going to influence your great-grandchildren, and so on. Because God can see multi-generational, and we can't. And sometimes God says no because He sees things that you and I don't see. I mean, think about it. If you could see your life the way God sees it, would your prayers be different? Sure they would. If you could see your life the way that God does, would it solve a lot of your problems? Absolutely. You'd never have any of this unexpected trouble show up, which we're all familiar with. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Because you would see that coming. You never have any unexpected difficulties come up because you could always prepare for things in advance and know that this is coming along, so I got to prepare for it now. You'd always have that foresight. You never have any unexpected those things come up. And also, you never ask for any of the wrong things in your prayers. Because then you would say, well, I don't want to ask for this, because if I ask for this, then this is going to create that in my life. So you'd be able to see that. Think about it a moment. Do you give your children everything that they want? Of course not. Why? Because you love them. But also, you can see things that they cannot see. No parent would ever give their child everything they ask for because everybody knows that's what grandparents are for. Oh, mercy. Kish and I get in trouble all the time for spoiling our grandkids. But God loves you and I too much to give us everything that we ask for because God's able to see what you and I can't see. Sometimes God says no to you, your prayers, in order to protect you from something that you can't see that may be coming around the bend. If He does answer yes to that prayer, He says no sometimes to protect you or to guard you. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 8 says, "Guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones." Notice that it says guards and preserves, or your version may say protects. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that God displaces us out of trouble. Because we've all, like I said earlier, made a lot of bad choices. It doesn't mean that He plucks us from the frying pan that we got ourselves into. God may leave you in the frying pan, and if He does, He'll just keep you from getting burned. Remember the story of Daniel. King was going to throw Daniel into the lion's den to be eaten up. Daniel prays to God, "Oh God, please, please, please don't let me go into that lion's den. I don't want to get torn from limb from limb. That just sounds too spooky and gross, and I don't want that to happen." God said no. He put him in the lion's den. But he shut the lion's mouth. Lions weren't hungry that day. Bigger story. Bigger results. Better miracle. Remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I always get those mixed up. These three guys, they didn't want to obey the king for what he wanted them to do. And so the king orders them to be thrown in the fiery furnace. And those three guys, they prayed, "Lord, please keep us out of this fiery furnace." God said no. He let them go into the fiery furnace. But he walked through it with them. And they were untouched by the flames. And when they came out of the fiery furnace, the ropes that they had been bound up with, they were burned off of their hands, but their whole body was untouched by the flames. They didn't even smell like smoke. And sometimes, I know you and I are going through fiery times in our lives, and sometimes we say, "Please, God, please don't let me go through this fiery trial. I promise I'll learn the lesson that you want me to learn." God says, "No, you're going to go through it." He says, "But when you come out on the other side, you're going to be free. You're going to be free from that habit, or free from that person, or free from that fear, or free from that guilt, or free from that shame, whatever it is in your life that has you bound up, whatever is binding you up, those things will be burned off." And it would have never happened unless you went through the fire. And as I look around today, there's a lot of you that have been in that fire. Not only God does He say that I have a bigger perspective for you, another possible reason why God sometimes says no is that He has a better plan for you or I. Sometimes God says, I intend to answer your prayer, but just not in the way that you would like to see it answered in your life. I have a better way. God will say yes, just not the way that you want Him to say yes, because God has a better idea and a better plan. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And notice in that verse it says, it's plural, ways. He doesn't say way, because God doesn't just have one way of doing something. Because unlike you and I, God has a lot of options that are unlimited. And He has alternatives, and He's never forced into doing something one way all the time. Just because He answers a prayer this certain way, He's not going to answer it that same way all the time. The problem is when we pray, a lot of times, we don't just want to tell God what we want. We want to tell Him how we want it. We want it in our preferred way. And as you and I well know, our preferred way is always the easiest way. God, I really need you to get me out of debt. What's the easiest way? Win the lottery. You'll be set for life. Guarantee you, God's not going to use that way. I know, I've tried. I didn't win yet. God doesn't want to use the easiest way. God wants to use the best way in your life, because the best way will always keep you growing. Because God's more interested in our character rather than our comfort. Because He wants to give us faith in order that we grow. Now, the way He grows your faith is maybe a delayed answer sometimes to increase your faith. Because God's not a vending machine. God's not a genie. God's not a slot machine where you stick in the prayer, pull the lever, and ching, boom, out comes the prayer. Now, you saw a couple of weeks ago, I had a box up here full of answered prayer requests. Those came in different times and lengths. And when someone asks us to pray a prayer, it may not happen in the next week or two. It may happen 3 to 6 months, maybe years down the line. But God still answers it. And so don't ever think He's a slot machine. God, I know I haven't tithed in quite a long time, so I'm going to give God an offering, and maybe he'll have a little favor on my request. God, I know I haven't been coming to your house very much, and I know I should, but I haven't. But maybe I'll come to church this Sunday, and maybe he'll see my prayer request, and maybe he'll have a little bit of oomph to it. He's not a vending machine. He's not a slot machine. God, those things don't grow your character anyway. Actually, they make you less likely to grow, because then you set yourself up for disappointment. In order for you to grow, sometimes God delays His answer to your prayer. He's going to slow you to grow you. And we all know that we have some growing in our lives to do. Jean Olson, who was a mother of five from Illinois, she took her daughter Kirsten, age 9, out to a mother-daughter breakfast. And during their meal, she asked her daughter, "How do you think I could be a better mom?" By the way, never ask your kids this. Her daughter Kirsten thought for a moment. She said, "Well, you do yell a lot, and I know that you've been praying about that, but it really isn't working yet." So never ask your kids those types of things. Because you think about it, lots of great people in the Bible did not get what they asked for. They stayed sick. They stayed poor. Or whatever. And the Bible says this even about the greatest things. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is known as God's Hall of Fame for faith, Hebrews chapter 11, 39 and 40 says, "And all of these things, having gained approval through their faith, and they did not receive what was promised, because God provided something better for us. Because God has all of eternity to fulfill His promises." Let me remind you that again. God has all eternity to fulfill His promises. There's about 6,000, some people say close to 7,000 promises in the Bible. And God's not limited to just our 80 or 90 or maybe even 70 years on earth to accomplish those. Some promises are going to be given to us and fulfilled in heaven, in eternity. Because remember, if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we're living forever, not just here on this earth. And when you look back, if you're true to yourself and if you're honest about your things that you say, you're glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers. Amen? I know I am. I know there's a lot of prayers that God said no to. Let me throw this out there. If you've ever been to a high school reunion, you should thank God that He didn't answer some of your prayers. Garth Brooks wrote that song, "Thank God for Unanswered Prayers." And it's true. Because God has a bigger perspective and He has a better plan for your life. And finally, the last reason why sometimes God says no is because He has a greater purpose for our life. God has a purpose for our life because He never makes anything or never lets anything happen without a purpose. And God will never let your prayers that you pray up to Him interfere with your purpose. God won't even let you interfere with your purpose through prayers. And if you're praying for something and it's not according to your purpose, then He's just not going to give it to you. Psalms 57:2 says, "I will cry out to my God who's up in the Most High," who's the Most High God, "to God who accomplishes all things for me." So you see, God's not obligated to explain what He does, why He does it. Because He doesn't owe you or I an explanation, simply because He's God. He's the Lord God. But He does say to us, and He does comfort us with the fact that He says, "I have a purpose for your life." And not everything that happens in your life is good. You and I know that. We've been through that. A lot of bad stuff happens, particularly because of the choices that we make. But God even says, "You know what? I can even use that. I can even use your dumb mistakes. I can use even other people's dumb mistakes." And everything that God does. Because the bad stuff that He allows in our life is for a purpose. I know it doesn't seem like that. But the purpose is for good. Including our problems. Including our unanswered prayers. Because they're all part of the purpose. I know some of you may be in a tough spot right now with a lot of things going on. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 states that the purpose of these troubles that we are experiencing in our life is to test our faith. And fire does the same thing, to test how genuine gold is. And the Bible says your faith is far more precious than gold. Anytime you're discouraged and things just don't seem to be working out the way that you think they should be working out, as committed, as dedicated, as much as you love God, just remind yourself that God has a greater purpose for your life. He has a bigger perspective. He has a better plan. And He has a greater purpose. Please join me as we pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for loving us the way You do. I know, God, we get so frustrated at You sometimes. Just as a child does with a parent because they don't get their answer the way they want it. Help us to remember that You are the good Father. A good, good Father. A great God. And You know things far beyond our comprehension. Even when it causes us heartache, even when it causes us frustration, why it's not happening, as committed as we are, dedicated, because, Father, we do love You. We praise Your name. We lift Your name upon high. We are Prayer of Faith church family here. We love each other. This church was built upon love and knows what love is. And so, Father, we love You. And we show that to all people who come here, and all people who attend here, and all people here who are our family. And so we're doing what we know to do best, Father. And so help us to remind us that You know the very best for our lives as well. Father, we thank You and we praise Your holy name. Lead us, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever and ever. And all the church said, Amen.